friends. I'm your host, Dr. Dave Layton, and thank you for joining me in our journey to hope. It is my desire through this podcast to bring you information about how to discover, sustain, or perhaps regain hope. Well, in this episode, I'm joined by Raymond Elliott. Now, I've known Raymond since we first moved to Prattville, Alabama in 1993. At that time, he was our minister and one of the elders for our congregation. I remember even today many of his wonderful thoughts that he shared with us from God's Word. And we were just talking about that, Raymond. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, at age 88, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. Your lovely wife's doing okay this morning?
Yes, doing as well as she can. Okay. with her leg problem.
Well, I hope I'm as spry as you guys are if I reach 88. All right. Well, in this episode, we're going to be talking about how we find hope in waiting. Now, you can call that patience or steadfastness. It goes by all kinds of different words. But it seems like a little bit of an unusual approach to the topic. But Raymond, I have found that in the world or the concept of hope, there's just so many directions that we can come at it and study it, and so many areas where it bleeds over into whatever the situation is going. So I hope the folks will find it interesting, and certainly we want to be helpful for someone who's challenged in your hope. Okay. Well, I want to start out by asking you, how do you understand this concept? Well, let's start with hope first. Do you have a basic definition of hope or understanding that you rely on?
Well, in some areas, I would say one of desire and to a certain degree expectations. And that expectation may be very difficult to attain, and it may take much time to reach that. And so we desire something, and I'm speaking of things that are moral, that are acceptable, that we have that desire to obtain a certain goal in life.
Right.
And I think that there's a passage of Scripture, you know, my being a preacher, and I want you to notice this is from the writings of Paul in Romans. He mentions this, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. I'm going to stop there.
Okay.
I've heard the sayings about this Christian man who was in dire need of something, and that was of patience. So he asked the Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now.
That's right. I don't want to wait for it.
That does not work.
Yeah.
But now, another thought from this passage, but if we hope for that which we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience, mm-hmm, or perseverance. Patience sometimes is misunderstood. It is not like a man out fishing and waiting patiently for that fish to bite. There is a synonym, perseverance. And perseverance is something that Paul also said, that perseverance produces character, mm-hmm, and character, hope.
Yeah. You know, I see a slight difference, nuance, between the idea of patience and perseverance. Patience is, to me, communicates a little bit more of just waiting. Mm-hmm. We wait patiently. But perseverance sounds like it's got a little more action involved in it. I'm not just waiting, mm-hmm, but I'm looking for something, or I'm doing something and staying with it is, yes, the idea there.
Yes. I think there are illustrations that we can use that we, and perseverance will build character. Now, the word character can mean a movie star,
oh, yeah,
or whatever. But I think it involves the moral being of a person as personality. It may be different from character, but it's involved. But character is the sum total of what a person is. And when we think about that, patience will produce character. And that character building involves disappointments and waiting patiently. For example, my wife and I married in 1955. It was not until 1983, 28 years later, that we bought a house.
Yeah.
Because being a preacher, as people will say, we lived in a parsonage.
Right. Yeah.
And we longed for the day when we could buy a house. Mm-hmm. And it was not until 1983, when we moved to Prattville, Alabama, that we bought a house. And there's a difference between living in a parsonage or a rented house and having your own house.
And that used to be considered part of your compensation as a preacher, that they provided you with a house, so they actually paid you less. But anyway, I like the concept of patience. I don't have near as well grounded patience as I ought to. I think all of us see that we need to grow in that area. When I started putting this together and thinking about it, patience and hope, I remember a few years ago, I've always wanted to grow blackberries. When I was a young child, you know, we would go pick blackberries, and they were always in brambles and, you know, hard to get to.
Right.
And I'd heard about cultured blackberries. And what it means is they were raised and husbanded as a crop, and they produced more berries and larger berries. So I thought that would be great. So a few years ago, I went to my favorite nursery here, Petals from the Past, you know, up in Jemison, and talked to the folks there, and they set me up with some blackberries. I took them home, and thing is, you know, you don't plant blackberries and then harvest them. It takes at least a year of it to grow. So you don't really get blackberries until about the second year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I combined patience and hope there. I had patience to wait for a crop that I was hoping for.
Yes, yes.
With expectation.
Yes.
And sure enough, I did everything they said to do. I cut back the old canes and all of that, so they wouldn't get all kind of briars on them. But anyway, around the second year, I just had lots and lots of blackberries. I would get enough off of the three canes that I had to sustain us through the summer, and large ones, you know, real good. But I took a picture. My children had come home for Father's Day, and I told them, I've been waiting for y'all to come home because I wanted to fix a blackberry cobbler. And I took a picture of that cobbler, and I said, this cobbler is 2 years in the way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We enjoyed that.
Well, my wife had inherited, was given by her mother, some land. And on 20 acres of that land, we had pine trees planted.
Okay.
It was not until about 20 years later that they began to harvest some of those trees.
Right.
20 years waiting.
Yeah. And you know, that's interesting. You and I both love to garden, vegetable gardens and ornamental gardens. And you know, you don't get a crop right away. You plant and you look forward to the day when you'll enjoy that, whatever it is that you've grown.
And I know that also you're probably talking about if you have problems while you're waiting patiently. How are you going to deal with that?
That's a big part of it, yes.
And
well, see, that's where that perseverance comes in, I think, because as you're waiting patiently, you're taking some actions. You may have to redirect, may have to change what you're doing. So that's a part of it as well. But you're not giving up. You're still sustaining and moving towards that, whatever it is.
As a preacher, and I have not had this problem particularly, but sometimes preachers will go to a congregation and try out.
Okay.
And they don't get that work.
Right.
Now, that humbles a person. And you can identify with this in the military. Not every time that a person wants to be promoted in rank.
That's right.
Would they get that?
It may take three or four times.
Or 30 years to come out and to be a general or whatever you might.
But I knew what I needed to do to move toward that direction, but I had to do it patiently.
And this comes back that if you had everything that you desired, I don't know exactly what kind of a person you'd be, but because you have waited patiently, and that helped to develop a character in you that when you obtained it, how grateful you would be.
Yeah. Well, waiting, I guess, by definition, gives the idea that something that you hoped for is going to be at the conclusion of that wait. And we usually want to think of that, obviously, in a positive way. Something I've worked for, something I've studied for, or whatever, it's going to happen. And so that's a part of it. Yes, in our world, it seems like we want instant gratification. We always use a microwave or something another, you know, rather than cook the meal, we'll run to the restaurant, get it, and bring it home or something like that.
Yes, let me mention this, that I cook breakfast on Sunday morning. That is that I put two eggs in a bowl and put it in the microwave. In 63 seconds, I've got my breakfast.
And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But it does instill in us this this idea that patience is a virtue. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit that, Paul talked about in Galatians 5. Mm-hmm. And it takes time, and it actually takes some adversity sometimes to develop patience, to help you work through that and to strengthen it. And you use the idea of developing character, and I think that's a big part of it.
Correct. Yes, and again, if you have a desire for something, a hope, it may be a real challenge for you because of disappointments and having to wait patiently. If you have something instantly, that does not necessarily prove patience as we understand it.
Right.
Now, I'm 89, and I look back retrospectively over our lives, and we've had many disappointments. Even in our marriage, disappointments in what we hope for. But those disappointments, for example, we needed and hoped for more money, and we were not always paid very much. And there were times that it became so difficult that we might not have money enough for food. Mm-hmm. But what it did, it made us draw near to one another, and it helped to stabilize our marriage.
Yeah, strengthen it. Yes. That build that bond between you that helps you then as other situations come up. You know, you have each other. That's a good point. You know, I like to read different articles on the subject when I'm thinking about speaking on it or teaching on it. I was reading an article recently in Psychology Today, and it talked about that, and you mentioned it, patience cultivates inner strength and sound judgment. Mm-hmm. And so it is a virtue. It's a worthy virtue. And coming out of that, again, is this idea of hope, that I have a reasonable or strong idea that something will happen as I want it to happen. May change a little bit, but generally speaking, we do. The article stated that patience may not always give us what we want. And I thought that was interesting because things change.
Yes.
And it said that we remain calm and peaceful and happy regardless. So I thought that was an interesting article about that from Psychology Today. All right. So how do we deal with situations when our patience is challenged? Because let me add something real quick there. When something doesn't happen, and I don't mean instantly, but I mean over a period of time, we just can't see like we're making progress towards it. How do we deal with those situations when we're challenged like that?
Well, as I mentioned before, it develops a character that strengthens your thoughts that though I'm challenged, and what you were talking about, this lady in the wheelchair, that when you would come to a big rock, then you climb it.
Yeah.
And that builds the character.
Yeah.
So whatever you're hoping for, you may not get it within a near reach, but it may take time. And eventually, if that which is acceptable, morally right, and that which you truly desire, I do believe that you will attain it.
Yeah. You know, obstacles really do strengthen us. If I wanted to be a successful athlete, I know I need to increase my strength. Well, that involves resistance and overcoming that resistance and building it, or coming against an opponent that challenges me and helps me improve my ability. So we understand that obstacles are not necessarily a bad thing. And again, working patiently with perseverance to overcome those obstacles. You know, in our Christian life, Satan is not going to turn us loose just because we have now obeyed the gospel. We've come up out of that baptism and we're now a child of God. We're in the kingdom. Satan's not going to turn his back. In fact, he's probably going to redouble his efforts.
Yes.
And so those obstacles that are thrown in our way help us to build strength of faith, strength of character, many other things.
When you think about characteristics of a person who is a child of God, when you read about in 2 Peter chapter 1 about these graces, you know, it takes time to cultivate that. And it's like whenever I was in college, I had a teacher that told us, you may not remember everything that you're taught in college, but you need to know where to find the information. And so even as a preacher, life is one big classroom and you're always growing, that you may provide help, encouragement, information to those you serve. And it has been a long, long hill to climb. And when you do not reach that where you hope for, then it's very sad.
Yeah.
So I have learned more in life after college.
Oh, sure.
So I had a preacher, set your sight on the stars, reach for the stars. And when you're hoping, you're reaching for the stars. And the only way you can get it is diligence in whatever you do to obtain that hope.
Yeah, yeah. You were talking about running, and we mentioned that. A thought that really almost immediately came to mind was in Hebrews chapter 12.
Yes.
As the writer is just finished talking about all these wonderful examples of faith, And I know you know this, but he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And I'll hold it there. But I think the writer very clearly is pointing toward this idea, you know, when we would get ready for a race, we've got on our sweats and to warm up, and so we take those off, so we're unencumbered as we run, and we run diligently. We don't give up just because somebody passes us.
Yes.
We redouble our efforts in that kind of situation.
If you would look at a person, whether it be a movie star or a runner in the Olympics, you will know that there have been many failures. And we look at a person who is a star in movies, yet we don't remember that he started 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's true with so many people that are successful. where they were and what they achieved, but they had a hope. They had a desire to be what they became.
Yeah. We set a goal out there, and then we work at it, and we improve as we go. We learn more, all of those things. So it takes patience. And yes. And so patience is really a foundation that we can build upon to gain what we hope. It's just part of that process.
Yes.
We hope for something, and we know it's going to take time. Lynn and I have had my wife and I have had the conversation. I wish I had been able to do whatever I'm doing, like this podcast or in my career in education. I wish I could have been doing this 15 years ago. And Lynn reminds me, all in God's time.
Yes,
there's a growing that I had to go through to gain the knowledge and skills to be able then to be successful in my
career. That's right.
It doesn't happen overnight.
You mentioned that. Now, I got to mention that.
Sure.
Jesus was about 20 miles removed from the community where Lazarus lived.
Uh-huh.
And so he received word one day that Lazarus is sick. And he waits another day. And then he travels. It was on the fourth day when he got to the tomb where Mary and Martha were mourning about the death of their beloved brother. And it isn't that he could not have healed him from a distance, because he has done that, but he waited. And for a reason, that this miracle of raising him from the dead would be one that could not be denied. And when you think about that, Jesus was late 4 days, but he was on time.
Yeah.
You see? and so, whatever we desire, we have to wait with patience about it. And it may be late in our lives, or maybe years, 10 or 20 years down the road. Hopefully it won't be that long.
Yeah.
But it may be by steps, increments over time, that I can reach this mountaintop.
Yeah. You know, a petulant child demands instant gratification. And I use that. That's a harsh term, petulant child. We understand, you know, that a child just demands their way. And we know that's not a good thing if we give in to that.
Yes.
And so there is, we'll try to teach our children patience. And so it's a good virtue. When I was putting together my thoughts, I thought about the idea of, I think all of us at some time or another have been stuck on hold on a telephone. And the longer we have to sit there and wait, we want something to happen, we need relief, but the longer we sit there and wait, it seems like the more impatient.
Yes.
I mean, when they've gone through that same music 3 or 4 times and have come back and told us 3 or 4 times, we are very interested in you. You know, you're very valuable to us. And it's like, really? If you were? But the longer we wait, the more impatient we become. But it seems like that we might not. Well, let me think again of my thoughts there. We pray to our Lord that we need something, we want something. And our prayer doesn't seem to be answered either in the way we want or in the time that we want. And I'm using that expression, we want, intentionally, because we do live and serve on God's time. And so sometimes, we may feel like we're being put on hold, and I need something now, and I want to get whatever it is taken care of right now.
That's right.
Doctor called in my prescription to the pharmacy, and somewhere in the transition, the order didn't go through, and I needed the medication because that particular medication was running low, and I needed that medication. And so, I had to patiently go back to the doctor, have them resubmit, and all of that. But it's just like, okay, take a deep breath. They're not working against you. All right. Well, how can we, or what can we say to someone who is being challenged with their patience and hope to help them to develop that patience?
Well, being a person who believes in the providence of God, I've had to ask my Lord many times to give me patience, to help me persevere, sure, to endure. And that challenge has been very difficult at times. And even in health problems, we'd hope for better, and yet we may have disappointments along life's way. And here is one characteristics of a person who has a hope for something, is to be accepting. And I mean by that, whatever the challenge is, to accept it, mm-hmm, and then to persevere and to endure. And if it's God's will, then you'll reach that desired point in life.
Yeah. You know, something I've noticed about things that we want or maybe even need, that over a period of time, the immediacy or the intensity of that may actually lessen. And I don't mean to belittle in any way somebody's, I need something or I want something, but it is interesting how sometimes when we look back on it, that wasn't as critical, mm-hmm, as we thought it was. And so our hopes change, our goals change. Sometimes it's actually good that it doesn't happen right away.
Yes, and that's a good point, because what you expect may not be really what you need.
Right. In the heat of the moment, I'm wanting something, and I haven't really thought it through well enough.
That's right. In fact, there are times that I've seen in life that the fact that they didn't get the position, that it was the best thing because they chose a secondary way and it proved best for that person.
Yeah.
Wow. In profession, I'm talking about that the alternate route in life was actually the best for the person.
Well, one thing that you and I know, and unfortunately a lot of folks don't realize it, is God is faithful to his promises, and he has our best interests in heart, especially, I mean, absolutely, those of us that are his children. And mm-hmm, and so he is not going to abandon us. He promises not to, and to meet our needs. Well, that's a promise to you and I, because we're faithful children of our Lord. And
yes,
so those that are not, they don't have that strength of hope in God's faithfulness because they don't have the relationship with him. So it's pretty important that they become a child of God.
That's right.
Then it becomes a promise.
Okay. One of my favorite passages, and I emphasize to young people, you need to memorize and live by these passages. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways, God will direct you, mm-hmm, if you do that. And those ways may not be that which you previously had chosen. But if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and you don't lean upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your paths.
Yeah.
And that goes along with being a child of God and trusting in him. He's going to be with you in life.
Yeah. Patience and impatience are interesting concepts. It seems that the more patience we have, the stronger our patience is. And it seems like the more impatient we are, the more impatience grows.
Yes.
And so it's hard to overcome impatience if that's our normal way of looking at things. And again, we're talking about this in connection with the concept of hope. I have an expectation that something's going to happen. And so I hope in that.
Yes.
Not the vague, I hope or I wish something will happen, but the confident assurance. And it does take patience.
And it is best to have a desired expectation.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't, then you may wander.
Oh, that's an empty life.
See?
Yeah.
And that's what I try to stress to young people. Whatever. For example, even in our high schools now, when I was growing up, I took shop and agriculture. Mm-hmm. I still have a bookcase that I made, one of the children may have it now, that I made in shop. Well, I didn't wind up in a shop although I've had gardens, and in fact, when I lived in Op, Alabama, I had a young farm, 18 rows, about 80 feet long. 30 rows, I'm sorry, 30 okay. rows, 80 feet long. And I expected much to come out of that garden. And sometimes it failed, but sometimes 1 year I went out and pulled 300 ears.
Okay. 300 ears of corn.
That's right. But back to this, and so if you expect desire, you have a hope for something, and it may not be the one, and you may not have the patience to wait on it, and therefore you may change because you're impatient about not reaching what you desired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not all bad.
Well, if you're going in a wrong direction, then yes, you need to make changes and redirect or strengthen something or whatever. That's just a part of that process. And again, that's a good thing because what that ultimate thing we're hoping for, you just gave the example of a good crop. You're going to take action to bring that about.
Yes. But let's come back to that. I started about in high school. Now, they say now, if you're not planning to go to college, then they're offering the alternate route, that is, of working with in the automobile industry.
Sure.
Let me give an illustration. I live in a small town of Fort Deposit. Happened in that small church for 5 years. And 1 year in that small church, we had 20 in college.
Okay. 20.
However, one of them was not in college per se. He went to Evergreen and went to tech school.
Yes.
He felt a little bad, inferior, that he was not going to college. I said, son, what are you taking? Welding. Being an electrician, etc. I said, son, when you get out of school, you most likely will have a job than some of the four-year
sure.
students. So, and he did.
And less debt, yeah, I might add.
Yes. The last time I heard about it, he was out in Texas working on some of these high towers.
Yeah.
No telling how much money he's making. But anyway, whatever. I had a desire to be a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I was never encouraged by my teachers, people on the staff, in management, except for one teacher. His name was Rex A. Turner Sr. And I went to him. I said, there's a small church that wants me to be their preacher. The first full-time preacher. And I knew they weren't able to pay me much. And this is what he said, you go. Had he not encouraged me, then I would not be where I am today.
Yeah.
So, and there were many challenges in life, and he also said to young preacher boys, some of you will make it and some of you won't.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, 2 years, I lived in Savannah, Georgia, beautiful city, historic, very historic. But I was there for 2 years, and that was my trial by fire.
Wow.
By fire.
Wow, yeah.
and I survived.
Yeah. Wow.
But I had a hope of being a preacher for the rest of my life.
Well, you and I both attended Freed Hardeman University. Of course, when I first started and when you were there.
No, I went to Alabama Christian.
Oh, you went to Alabama Christian. Yes, I thought you went to Freed Hardeman.
No.
Okay.
I had two sons.
Well, I know your kids went to Freed Hardeman.
I had two sons, yes.
Okay. I was not a preacher student, but of course, we took Bible courses each semester, and we would have preacher students in there. And I think it was R.C. Oliver. I don't remember for sure. I had him for Life of Christ is why I think it was him. But he made a comment, and you'll appreciate this, and I may not have it exactly right, but our Lord Jesus spent 30 years preparing for a three-year career, and the preacher students were taking 3 years to prepare for a 30-year
That's
career.
That's right. And then we have schools of preaching 2 years.
Yeah.
It took me, it took me more than 4 years to get a degree.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. All right.
So in life, if you have a hope of what you want to be and to become, to serve in what capacity among your fellow men, struggle for it. Wait patiently for it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Well, patience helps us deal with the curves of life that are going to be there. Absolutely. And so we need to examine our options. We need to think about what we're doing, set worthy goals, and stay the course.
That's right.
And something that I have talked about so much in this podcast, and I will because it's at the heart of it, is I'm trying to help folks discover, sustain, or regain hope. And sometimes when things don't go our way, our hope will wane, and we need it to be strengthened. I also tell people, Raymond, you are not alone. And sometimes when we're out there and things aren't going right, people do think, oh man, I'm all alone. I don't have any help. Nobody's there. But I tell people, you are not alone.
Yes.
All of us have gone through or are going through challenges to our hope to some degree. But the closer we draw to our Lord, the greater our hope, lasting hope.
And in your desire to reach the pinnacle of your hope, there are times you'll be greatly disappointed, as you're mentioning. Seek counsel of a good friend, a person, a business person, a businessman. Seek counsel.
Yeah.
Don't become so discouraged that you quit.
Yeah. You know, Raymond, you have been a mentor to so many people, myself included. It's been an honor knowing you. I came here on a temporary assignment before I was permanently assigned to Maxwell Air Force Base, and one of the ladies in our congregation in San Antonio, Texas, recommended that I attend the Prattville Church and get to know folks, and so I did, and I'm glad I did. And I knew right then, hey, I knew I want to get a permanent assignment here. And if we did, then I would worship with this congregation. And so you've been a mentor to me over the years. I appreciate that very much. My wife and I were talking the other day, just this past week, that we miss the old flannel board sermons that you used to do before the days of PowerPoint and audiovisual and all the high tech. You would be up there on the podium with a 4x8 sheet of plywood with flannel sheet over it, and you would be putting we loved that, and I told Lynn, I said I would love it if Raymond did that one more time.
Yes. Well, Dave, I am so happy to have known you and know you. And I appreciate so much what you're doing in your writing, podcasts. You are influencing more people than you realize.
It's scary to think that, my friend.
It is.
Makes me feel very humble and makes me feel very intentional when I do teach something or write something, that I have to be very, very careful because we just don't know who we might be influencing. And so every now and then I get a little feedback that we've gone in the right direction, and that again causes me to redouble my efforts, and that's good to do. Anything else you want to share with us, my friend?
Not necessary.
Okay.
But I do appreciate the opportunity sure. being with you. I really do.
Well, I'd like to have you back on as a guest in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. We pray you have many more years of service to the Lord.
Thank you.
All right.
I have that hope.
Yeah. We have that eternal hope. We sure
That's
do.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, Raymond, for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us as together we journey to hope. I trust in some small way we have encouraged you to discover, sustain, or regain hope through this effort. I invite you to contact me if you have any questions or comments, or if you wish to share with me something you've experienced in your journey to hope. My email is ourjourneytohope@gmail.com. That's ourjourney and the number 2, hope@gmail.com. And please, share this podcast with someone that you know that their hope is being challenged. I look forward to sharing more with you soon. Again, I'm Dr. Dave Layton, and thank you for listening. And until our next episode, remember, we give all glory to God our Father.